gospel says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will send you the advocate. Okay? So like the groundwork for receiving the Holy Spirit is really keeping the commandments. Okay? If we keep the commandments, God can download all the grace he wants to give us. So in a book called Habits of the Heart, Robert Bella describes one person who named her religion after herself. Sheila Larson is a young nurse who describes her religion as Sheilaism. She says, I believe in God. I'm not a religious fanatic. I can't remember the last time I went to church. My faith has carried me a long way. It's Sheilaism, just my own little voice. Sheila's faith has some tenets beyond belief in God, though not many. In defining my own Sheilaism, she said, it's just try to love yourself and be gentle with yourself. You know, I guess, take care of each other. I think he would want us to take care of each other. Like many others, Sheila would be willing to endorse few more specific injunctions. Sheilaism is a kind of designer religion. It's something we make up as we go along. It's kind of like be your own pope. Martin Luther said that he left the church in order to get out from under the pope. But he says, when I left the church, I found 100 more popes. Everyone was their own highest authority. In order to keep the commandments, we need an outside voice. We need more than just my own little voice. We need this outside voice of the Pope or the commandments telling us what is best for us. It works in that way in every institution. The family has its rules, like don't lick the fly swatter. Don't stick the fork in the electric outlets. Okay, like we say, are these arbitrary commands of some cruel and tyrannical parent? Well, no, parents only want what's for our good. And so it is with God. So one moral theologian, Monsignor William Smith, calls the Ten Commandments the golden oldies. And we could sum up those Ten Commandments by saying the first three commandments teach us our obligations toward God, his person, his name, and his day. And the next seven teach us our obligations toward our neighbor. Respect authority, respect life, respect the act which transmits human life. Respect property and respect the truth. Now, commandment number 9 reinforces number 6. Number 6 is thou shalt not commit adultery. Number 9 is don't even think about number 6. Okay? And number 10 reinforces number 7. 7 is thou shalt not steal. 10 is don't be envious or jealous of what other people have. Maybe just to kind of expand the commandments a little bit, we might say that the first commandment asks, who do you worship? What do you worship? There's many false gods seeking for our attention, for our acclaim, like pleasure, wealth. Around what do you organize your life? Okay, like having a strange God doesn't mean I have a golden calf in my living room, but it means that I order my life according to something other than God and his will. Like we say, if we order our lives according to the soccer schedule, well, we say soccer is a false god, okay? And like all of the commandments, all sin has their own false gods. The second commandment is not to take God's name in vain. Well, we would say that God's name is constantly taken in vain. Even the word gosh is a corruption of God's name. If you look it up in an old dictionary, it tells you that. And it means using God's name for no reason. Like one teacher, a student told his teacher when she was teaching about that commandment. She says, I use God's name, but I don't mean anything by it. Okay? I use God's name, he said, but I don't mean anything by it. Well, that's the definition of using God's name in vain. Okay? To use God's name and not to mean anything by it. Okay? It's good to use God's name in prayer or in teaching other people about God. Okay? But for no reason, it would be God's name in vain. And we say disrespect for the name is disrespect for the person. The respect we show for God's name is the respect we show for God himself. The third commandment, keep holy the Sabbath, tells us that our faith must be embodied in some practical way of living. And it's embodied in attending Mass, coming to Mass. We say we have a debt to AT&T, and if we don't pay that debt, the phone goes dead. We have a debt to CL&P. If we don't pay that debt, the lights go out. Well, we have a greater debt to God. We have an infinite debt to God, greater than the national debt. And the Mass is the way we have something we can offer to God worthy of God. The fourth commandment, respect authority. Well, God delegates his authority to the state, to family, and to the church. And so respect for authority is respect for God's authority. The only time we don't respect those in authority is when they tell us to do something contrary to God's authority. When they tell us to do something wrong, we follow the higher authority, which is God. The fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill, it's actually a poor translation of the Hebrew. The Hebrew is, thou shalt not murder. And murder is always the taking of an innocent human life. Like, there are times when we can take a human life in self-defense, capital punishment, just war, but never an innocent human life. Even things like abortion, stem cell research, are present-day attacks on the fifth commandment. Like, one person said, an embryo is not a science project. Okay, an embryo is a person, a human person. And then the sixth commandment is, the sixth commandment is the one the world would like to press the delete button on. But we say the commandments are not multiple choice. Either all of them are true or none of them are true. And they say when we lose respect for the act which transmits human life, what follows is we lose respect for life itself. Okay? And that's when we live in a culture of death. Okay? A culture of death can only be sustained by deleting that sixth commandment, by losing respect for the act which transmits human life. And we say, the Ten Commandments give us a kind of minimalism, a kind of the least I can do. But this season of the year is about getting us beyond the minimum. It says, if you keep my commandments, I will send the advocate, the spirit of truth, the spirit of charity, the spirit of love into your hearts. Because to be a follower of Christ is to participate fully in his victory, to be fully awake, fully alive, fully open to joy, and to share that joy with others. So as we said, keeping the commandments is the launching pad for the ascension. Keeping the commandments is the groundwork that we do in order that God can download his grace, his Holy Spirit into us. Keeping the commandments enables God to accomplish in us all that he intends for us to become.